Welcome friends to Literature Mantra, I'm Harsh Singh and in this audio we will discuss tragedy. Now tragedy is not something new, it has been there since the time of the Greeks and one of the most ancient works on tragedy, about the literary features of tragedy, what tragedy is and how an ideal tragedy should be, is Aristotle's work Poetics. Now usi mein definition bhi hai, elements ke bare mein, different elements of the tragedy, all of these are talked about and that is considered to be a model for all other later tragedians. But before we discuss the treatise of Aristotle, let's talk about the principal tragedians of Greek drama. First was Aeschylus, uske baad Sophocles, the one who has written about Oedipus, theek hai? Third is Euripides. Now these three, Aeschylus, Sophocles and Euripides, are the three principal writers of Greek tragedy. Now after that there is one more writer, that is Seneca. So you might have heard about Senecan tragedy. So we'll talk about all of this. But let's return to the treatise of Aristotle and particularly the definition that Aristotle gives for tragedy. So this is what Aristotle says about tragedy. Quote, tragedy is the imitation of an action that is serious and also having magnitude, complete in itself, in language with pleasurable accessories, in a dramatic, not a narrative form. Okay. Written in a dramatic, not a narrative form, with incidents arousing pity and fear to accomplish its catharsis of such emotions. Unquote. So the aim of tragedy is purgation of emotions or catharsis of the emotions of pity and fear. It is dramatic, not in narrative form. And three words you should keep in mind, that it is an imitation of action that is serious, complete, with a certain magnitude. Theek hai? After that, Aristotle goes on to talk about the important elements of tragedy. And out of all of this, he says that plot is the most crucial aspect of tragedy, or the most crucial element of tragedy. Then he also goes on to talk about how a tragic hero should be. He says, a tragic hero is a man not preeminently virtuous and just, whose misfortune, however, is brought upon him not by vice and depravity, but by some error of judgment of the number of those in the enjoyment of great reputation and prosperity. Example, Oedipus, Thyestes, these are some typical characters. So the Greek tragedians and this treatise of Aristotle can be regarded as the starting point of tragedy or the evolution of tragedy, because tragedy really begins to take shape from this time onwards. So, uske baad hum aate hain Elizabethan times, because in that we see Shakespearean tragedies, we see blood revenge tragedies or Jacobean drama, or inse pehle tha Spanish tragedy and Gorboduc, that is also a revenge tragedy. So, little bit about the first tragedy that has been written in the English language, which is generally considered to be Gorboduc. Gorboduc was published in 1561 and it has been written by Thomas Sackville and Thomas Norton. In dono ne likha hai. And it is said that it is a imitation of Seneca. Or Senecan tragedy pe hi ye based hai. The principles which Seneca used in his tragedies, the same principles have been used by Thomas Sackville and Thomas Norton. And this tragedy Gorboduc has been written in blank verse. Blank verse mein likha hua hai. And what is blank verse? Unrhyming iambic pentameter. Okay, pentameter which does not rhyme is called blank verse. And an alternative title of this tragedy is Tragedy of Ferrex and Porrex. Okay, so this work has two titles. Ek to Gorboduc hai and an alternative title is Tragedy of Ferrex and Porrex. You'll understand who Ferrex and Porrex is in a minute. I'll explain that. Now, in terms of storyline, Gorboduc is about a good ruler named Gorboduc. Gorboduc is also the name of the ruler. King ka naam hai. And during his lifetime, he gives away his kingdom to his sons. Jaise ki baap beto ko apna kingdom ya jayadad jo divide kar dete hain. To usi tarike se hota hai. But what happens is, these sons which get a share of their kingdom, ये लोग आपस में लड़ाई करना शुरू कर देते हैं. सो द नेम्स ऑफ द सन्स आर फेरेक्स एंड पोरेक्स. दीज टू आर द सन्स ऑफ गॉर्बोडोक. एंड इन द बैटल और इन द क्वारल, पोरेक्स किल्स फेरेक्स. फेरेक्स इज द एल्डर सन एंड पोरेक्स इज द यंगर सन. एंड वट हैपन्स इज देयर मदर, हु इज ऑल्सो द क्वीन, विडेना. विडेना नाम है इनका. विडेना बिकम्स सो हॉरिफाइड एंड सो एंग्री दैट शी किल्स हर यंगर सन एज वेल. एंड later on, when the common people of the kingdom find out that this has been happening in the royal house, matlab maa bete ko maar rahi hai, beta bhai ko maar raha hai, so what the common people do is they kill the king as well as the queen. So all of the family members are dead. Porrex dead, Ferrex dead, Gorboduc and Videna, they too are dead. They have been killed. And as I said, Gorbodok is regarded as the first English tragedy. ये एक fact है. So you should know this. And when you are studying tragedy, you should also know the sub varieties of tragedy. For example, revenge tragedy, जो कि मैंने बात की थी. उसके बाद एक और sub variety है domestic tragedy. These two are very famous. Of course, there are other sub varieties as well. But amongst all of them, revenge tragedy is very important and domestic tragedy is also important. Now, revenge tragedy क्या होता है? Revenge tragedy is also called Jacobean tragedy or the type of tragedies that were prevalent during the Jacobean era. So what is the basic definition of revenge tragedy? A type of drama in which dominant motive is revenge. Revenge for a real or imagined injury. So William Shakespeare's Hamlet can also be considered a revenge tragedy. Then Thomas Kidd's tragedy called the Spanish tragedy. This is a wonderful example of revenge tragedy. Uske baad, the plays of Thomas Middleton, John Webster, these are also good examples of revenge tragedy or blood tragedy. After this, there is another sub-variety in tragedy called domestic tragedy. What is the basic definition of domestic tragedy? It is a kind of drama in which tragic protagonists are ordinary middle class or lower class individuals. In contrast to the classical or neoclassical tragedy, kyunki originally what Aristotle said in his treatise was that a tragic hero should not be any ordinary person, but slightly better than an ordinary person, or slightly better in terms of circumstances or in terms of character than an ordinary person. But domestic tragedy mein kya hai? The tragic hero or the tragic protagonists are ordinary middle class or lower class individuals. Now, what are the good examples of domestic tragedy? One of the best examples is the work by Thomas Heywood called A Woman Killed with Kindness. Okay, A Woman Killed with Kindness, which came out in 1607. Then there is one more work by George Lillo. Okay, George Lillo. His work is called The London Merchant or The History of George Barnwell. Okay, The London Merchant or The History of George Barnwell. And this work came out in 1731. These are good examples of domestic tragedies. Then, agar modern times mein dekhen ya 20th century mein dekhen, then there is a very important work by T.S. Eliot called Murder in the Cathedral. Okay, Murder in the Cathedral. This is a verse drama. But what kind of drama? It is a tragic verse drama. So, almost a kind of tragedy. But what is remarkable about this drama is that it is a verse drama, written in verse. And sometimes it is also said that this is a good example of a miracle play, a modern miracle play on the martyrdom of St. Thomas Becket. Because what happens in this play by T.S. Eliot is that St. Thomas is murdered in Canterbury. Wo jo hai na, Geoffrey Chaucer's famous work, Canterbury Tales. The pilgrims in Canterbury Tales go to a place called the Cathedral of St. Thomas Becket, who was murdered. So, what T.S. Eliot does is, he's writing a play, Murder in the Cathedral, about this murder, about the murder of St. Thomas Becket. Okay? And when you are reading about tragedy, keep in mind that most of the tragedies that have been written are using the principles of Aristotle. Okay? So, it can also be called Aristotelian theater. Of course, in theater, there can be comedy as well as tragedy. But, insofar as tragedies are concerned, most of the tragedies written comply with the principles of Aristotle as stated in the Poetics. So, broadly they comply. Of course, not totally, but broadly they comply with the principles. And I am pointing this out because there is also something called epic drama or epic theater. And the principles of epic theater are diametrically opposite to those principles of Aristotelian theater. So don't get confused. Of course, we were just talking about tragedy and all of a sudden now we are discussing theater. But let me remind you again that Aristotle's principles of tragedy are not just limited to tragedy, they can also be applied broadly to theater in general. In modern times, somebody like Bertolt Brecht and Erwin Piscator, okay, Erwin Piscator, these two people are famous for developing the epic theater. And as I said that the principles of Aristotelian theater and epic theater are diametrically opposite. So, the goal of Aristotelian theater is purgation of emotions of pity and fear. But here, the goal of epic theater is not allowing the audience to identify with the characters. To prevent that purgation of emotions of fear, pity or anything. And to keep reminding the audience that what they are watching is totally artificial. Does not have anything to do with reality. So this is the principle of epic theater. And from an exam point of view, it is very important that when you read about Aristotelian theater, you also read about epic theatre and also the concept of alienation effect as given by Bertolt Brecht. So, from an exam point of view, what are the things important when you study tragedy? First, study the evolution of tragedy. So, the three greatest Greek tragedians, Aeschylus, Sophocles, Euripides, and afterwards also Seneca. And Seneca comes later on. And most of the plays of Seneca are just reworkings of the plays of Euripides. So, that's why I said that three great Greek tragedians, Aeschylus, Sophocles and Euripides. After that, study the treatise of Aristotle, which is Poetics, and the principles that he has given about tragedy. The definition of tragedy, the elements of tragedy, for example, Himarsia, what is Himarsia? Then what is Peripeteia? What is Anagnorisis? What is Denouement? After that, you should move on to sub-varieties of tragedy. Revenge tragedy, domestic tragedy. Uske baad, ek cheez dhyan rakhna that Gorboduc is considered to be the first English tragedy. So, they might ask you the storyline of Gorboduc. Or they might ask you the storyline of the Spanish tragedy. These are classics, almost classics. After that, you should also know what is epic theatre. Why Aristotelian theatre is different from epic theatre in terms of the rationale of epic theatre and the elements of epic theatre. What makes Aristotelian theatre or Aristotle's notion of tragedy and plays in general, what makes that different from the principles of Bertolt Brecht with respect to epic theatre? So, only after studying all of this can you regard your knowledge of tragedy as being complete, or let's say being very near to complete, because after all you are sitting for a very competitive exam. So, whatever you read, don't read anything superficially. Usko aap dhang se padhna. Try to study anything and everything from every possible dimension. Because jo sawal aate hain exam mein, they generally ask questions from different dimensions. They won't ask you what is the meaning of tragedy. They won't ask you what is the definition of tragedy as given by Aristotle. Itna asaan sawal nahi poochte wo log. They generally give you a multi-dimensioned question. So, unless you have prepared in that way, it will become very difficult to answer questions. So, prepare keeping in mind that the standards of this competitive exam are very high.